1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read 15 verses. Love not the world. Love not the world. Don't love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, this is interesting. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Isn't that powerful? You all see that? That's powerful. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, all of those things are blocking everybody. And there's a lot of words for that. One is nephesh. The Hebrew word nephesh means you were born a living soul. You were born a living soul. Now that's not ruach, which is God's breath in you, born again. That's just nephesh. Like animals have that too. They're alive. So anything that's alive, anything that's living, is nephesh. But nephesh for people is soulish. And it means that you want to have desires met in this world. You want, in other words, you want your way. You want to control everything. So that is a mistake that every one of us have made. So every one of us is in chair one up here. You're a sinner. All of sin, all, sounds like all, is exactly all. All of sin. And fallen short, could I hear an amen on that? Amen. Of the glory of God. Well, that wasn't the glory. That was not the glory. When you were birthed in this word, in world, you loved the world. Because Adam and Eve had sinned. Adam and Eve goofed up. They did not obey God. Pretty soon, I don't know why he did this, but he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the garden. And every day they walked past it. And every day the devil was wishing one of them would come over. It was Eve. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? Because she messed up the whole world after that. Her firstborn son, Cain, killed his brother Abel, and so on and so forth. So she began the whole mess that we're in today. Isn't that precious? Did you know that didn't bother God? God was not bothered by that. He just said, okay, that's good, what you did. You have a right to disobey. You have a right to disobey. How many know you have a right to disobey? He doesn't force you. He doesn't have any police force to get you and, you know, make you do what you ought to do. He doesn't compel you. There's no force in God. There's only love. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Love will find a way. Love will find a way to patch up anything, to change everything, to restore everything. And God not only intends that, He sent His Son into the world later, 4,000 years later. He sent His Son into the world and said, I want you to show people how you and I love each other. You can't read that in the Bible, but that's why He sent Him, so that He would then show us the kingdom of God just in the Father loving the Son and the Son loving the Father. He actually said to His Father, I always do what pleases Him. How many of us can say that? I always do what pleases Him. Nobody. 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 How many know that nobody is who you are? Until you meet Jesus Christ, then you're somebody. Until you meet Jesus Christ, you're going to lust after the eyes. You're going to lust after the things of this world. You're going to have the pride of life. You're so proud and you're so self-confident. But then life has a way of knocking you down. Did you ever notice that about God? And he said, it's good that I do that, because if I hadn't give you a law, but I don't force the law. I never force the law. I just give it to you, and then it's up to you to either do it or don't do it. Well, Adam and Eve didn't. Cain didn't. And all the way through the Bibles, wars and numerous rumors of wars, and you know, everything is messed up in this world. So as a Christian, you're born into a evil world. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny that God would allow that? And this child you talk about and so on is born into an evil world, but it'll take him a couple of years, you know, maybe 2 years or so on, till he figures that out. And he'll learn to say, no. That's how children rebel. No. You go to bed right now or I'm going to spank you. No. Don't you love it when they're a person like that? They're just like their parents. And all the parents, you know, have a lot to do with that. How many know every child is going to sin before you know it? So, chair number one, that's where everybody's born. Everybody's born in number one. Sinner, you'll lie, you'll deceive, you'll trick, you'll do all kinds of things. How many know that's a bad chair? In fact, you can't go to heaven with that chair. There's no way you can get to heaven. Because you'll never arrive at 7, 6, 5, and 4 unless Jesus meets you, visits you somehow, and you know that you know that you know that there's a God in heaven. And for that reason, I'm a Christian. That's the only reason I'm a Christian. I never wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to have my own way. When I was young, I wanted everything to go my way, and I wanted no pain and all the pleasure I could get. That's what lust is. That's exactly what lust is. There's another word in the Greek, epithumia. That means God wanted you. Okay, I could translate it this way. Epi means upon. So you're living upon your desires. So thumia means what you want in the flesh. What you want in the flesh. So, now you have the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of this world. And the whole world is like that, right? You at least know one or two people like that. They're probably family members, but you at least knew one or two people like that that deliberately lie, deliberately tell the, you know, just would just lie. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? How can you be happy in a world like that? Oh, it's easy. Put your eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That is 5 and 6. 5 and 6. So when you, the one thing you don't want to do, let's say you're a sinner. There are plenty of them. Let's say you're a sinner and you're cold. You don't love God at all. I grew up that way. My whole family is mafia. Irish mafia, Italian mafia. On my dad's side, Italian. On my mom's side, Irish. And so I grew up in the wrong place, in Chicago of all places. And so I was born a bastard. And so I've told you about that. And a bastard is someone that's... has no legal rights when I was born. Today it's different. Today they don't care about it. But when I was, it was a shame that you had a child out of wedlock. And my father in the Italian mafia worked for Jimmy Hoffa, bad person. And so then my grandmother said to my mother, get rid of that child because it's a one-night stand. Boom, there I was born. That was Thanksgiving, 1939, 80-some years ago. And because of that, I grew up in a bad home, and we were poverty-stricken. In other words, we didn't have anything. And we were born on the wrong side of the tracks, whatever that means. Well, that was us. We're in the hood. And so we grew up seeing all these men coming and going. And so my grandmother had four marriages, then my aunt, I don't know how many people that she slept with, and my mother did it too because she liked dancing. And so all of that was a mess. Now, why do I tell you that? Well, because I want to tell you I grew up bad. Chair one. I was a definite chair one. I had no guilt. I didn't feel bad about it. I was just a tyrant. I was just simply out for myself and fooey on everybody else. And so, but I did it. I didn't just sin here and there. Everything I did was sinful, meaning not what God wanted. So I didn't want to do anything for God. I wanted everything for myself. How many are selfish like me? One, two, three, four. The rest of you are lying. But anyway, that doesn't make any difference. So everybody wants everything to go their way. And I wanted, you know, just to do whatever I wanted to do. And so I'm not at all, because if I didn't know bad, I wouldn't know good. I'll say that again. If I didn't know bad, I wouldn't know good. But one day, when I was here in Texas, left Chicago, bad place, and then came down to Texas. And I'd been here when I was 7, Galveston Bay. And in one of those shotgun houses where the door, the front door and the back door are all in one thing, and you slept on one side and you had the kitchen on the other side and so on. And you could shoot through, and that's what those were called, shotgun houses. Well, we slept in the middle because we were kids and we had to do what we were told. Because my third father, he also was a beast. My second father was a pervert. My first father was a one-night stand. So there you have it for fathers. But when the Father in heaven sent Jesus, his son, 2,000 years ago, more than that, he visited me one day. First year I was here, 50 years ago. And I'd read this book. I was already a pastor. I was a pastor. But I never changed. I haven't changed to this day. The only thing is, God changed me. And so when I met him, I knew that I knew that I knew that I loved Jesus Christ. I never had that thought in my life. I was always against Christians because they were hypocrites and liars. I didn't want to be a Catholic. I didn't want to be a Buddhist. I didn't want to be anything. I just wanted to be myself. I'll make my own way. So I was totally selfish. So there's no humility to me, and all I wanted was pleasure. All I wanted was no pain. But I got the pain anyway. Because if you grew up in the hood, there's a lot of pain. People were raped on this side. I knew exactly who they were. And then other people did this and did that. And most of the people I grew up with are either in prison, probably dead now, or they didn't stay in the hood. You had to get away. I mean, you can always flee. But being here in Texas, I don't want to flee anywhere else. I like it here. I like it right here. And so we believe in the Second Amendment. So because of that, you don't want to break in my house. Because I'm not at all afraid of killing. It doesn't bother me at all. But I don't know that I would, because I'm a Christian now. How many know Jesus said, if you take up the sword, you're going to die by the sword? That probably won't do it that way. But they shouldn't come in. I'll give them a warning. You make one more move, and then I'll pray over you after I've shot. And you have to shoot and kill, period. And so I'm a bad person. But I am not, because Jesus forgave me. Did you know Jesus forgave everybody here before you were born? He did it before there was a world. He did it even before there was any world. Before there was any Adam and Eve. He forgave everybody. And the Bible says he was slain from the foundation of the world. His son, Jesus. And he didn't have that name at that time. It's a Hebrew word which just means Yeshua, the one who saves. So Jesus is the one who saves. So this idea that God forgave you long before you were born, way before you were born, in eternity, he already decided, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they decided to forgive everybody. Wow. Because the other idea that he had was, I'll create the world and everyone will serve me. That was a great idea. But from the start, I mean, we just started out that way. We wanted to go against him, do our own thing, epithemia. And because of that, living upon the desires that you have naturally, your natural desires are for yourself. And God wants you to not do that. So, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. Why? Because years ago, I met Jesus and that was it. He changed my life forever. And so now I understand all these chairs. I understand. And they keep going before and after. I just didn't have any chairs left to use. So, I believe that God slated all of us to go to heaven. And live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. So I'm happy now all the time. All the time. If bad guys are there, they don't bother me at all. I was probably worse than them. And so they don't know that I didn't obey God at all. And I have all kinds of people that come to me and said, I've never heard that. You grew up in the mafia, in the Chicago mafia? Kennedy was killed by the Chicago mafia. I know who he is. Exactly. Not guessing. I don't have to write a book. But that guy was part of the mafia. And he was good. And he bit the bullet. You've ever heard of that, biting the bullet? After he shot Kennedy, he bit the bullet. He was on the knoll with three guys. There was three of them. So he was the one in the middle. And he bit the bullet and it fell down. And in prison, he confessed that to somebody. They went and dug up that bullet. We now have it. So that bullet is what destroyed him. The brains fell out of his head and so on. Went backwards. So I don't believe any of the stories that I've read so far. Because I know exactly who did it. It's a Chicago man. And since my Uncle Duke wasn't a Duke, I thought that was his name, Uncle Duke. He's just my mother's brother. And he was a Duke. In other words, he was a chief in Chicago. And all I knew is I never knew who my cousins were because he always was remarrying and remarrying and so on and so forth. And since my mother did that, everybody did that. And so my family was bad, bad, bad. But thanks be unto God. He loved me. If I were God, I wouldn't. I even told him that. God, I don't think you'd want me on your team because I'll ruin it. I'll be the worst pastor you ever had. But I'm a wonderful pastor now. You have to have a sense of humor. Because I'm in love with Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. So that love said, Jim, this is what I want for you. I want you to go all the way with me. I don't want you to put your hand to the plow and then turn back. So if you had two oxen in front of you and then you turned like this, look back, you'd run over the rest of the field that you just plowed. So once you put your hand to the plow, and I knew that, I knew from now on, you will never be Jim again. Jim is dead. Do you understand what I just said? Because I fell in love with him. It wasn't just head knowledge. It was heart. In my heart, I knew he loves me. I love him. How do I know? I don't know. I can't explain it. I just knew that God was all I needed. And so I joined the losers. I joined the Christians because I knew you could take advantage of them. And all the religions are like that. They have certain holy days and so on. You can take advantage of people like that. But I realized, I don't know if there's any other Christians, but I'm a Christian for sure. I'll never, ever, ever go back. I don't want to go back to one or two to be a hypocrite or a liar. Forget that. Because I always knew when I lied, that I lied deliberately, consciously, knowingly. It wasn't like, oh, what a surprise. You never heard me say, golly, I didn't mean that. I would never say that. I did mean it. If I did it, I wanted to do it. So, is anyone else like me? One, two, three, four, five, six. It doesn't make any difference because God really doesn't care. He does not care about your sin. He only cares about one thing. So the Jewish people loved him with lip service. Hypocrites, number two. But when they loved him that way, no heart was in it. When I got born again, my heart was the first thing because I never loved God, never cared about him. He was irrelevant to my life. But all of a sudden, I fell in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden, I wanted to be like Jesus. Because that's what he said in the Bible. I had head knowledge. I knew what Christianity was. I knew that nobody that I knew was doing it. And I don't think they still are. I think most people, they don't really have the good news. Ooh, that means good. Angelion, angel. If you have euangelion, that's the good news. And so the gospel is the good news. That's the gospel. Everything about it, every day I spend at least 5 hours a day, every single day, to be in the Word. Confess my sins, confess my righteousness, and fall in love with my wife. And I just want to do everything, and I'm a servant of the church and so on. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I have everything. I have Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have everything. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. All you got to do is know Jesus. You got everything. That's powerful. So I like Christianity because it's the happiest thing that ever happened to me. I was always a happy-go-lucky person because I always did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. But when I met Jesus, I don't do that anymore. I want everything to be for Jesus. And so I'm exactly what you want. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is rare these days. It's okay. God is not disturbed by that because he's not really interested in your behavior. He's more interested that did you believe after you sinned? Chair one, two. Because they're the same chair, actually. The one is more phony than the other one, but doesn't matter. Two is cold, and then, I'm sorry, one is cold. The other is a church that's lukewarm. So cold means psuche, and kliaros means, number two, hypocrite. You say you're a Christian, but you're really not. And so since everybody wants to be God, nobody wants to be like God, they want to be God. In other words, they want their own way. They're a despot. They're a tyrant. They're evil. How many know that there are such people in the world? I was one of them, but I never did what you think I would do, even though I was sinful. I didn't even know what the word sin meant. I knew what it meant, kind of, but not really, until I met Jesus. So for me, the sin is not that I sinned. The sin is that I want to be like Jesus completely. I want to be like him. I don't want to be him. I don't want to be God. I want to be like him. So I'm not afraid of bad guys. I'm not afraid of good guys. I'm not afraid of anybody. Why? Because of Jesus. He gave me perfect peace. Did you know it says in the Bible that he, God, shall give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed by your backbone here on him. For he trusteth in him. And so God keeps you. If you're a Christian, God will keep you. You don't have to keep yourself because you can't. You can't do what you can't do. So since you can't be righteous, no one here is born righteous. Did you know that all who come into the world are already sinful? You got that when you were conceived in the womb. So then, if you have bad teachers like Satan and bad people, then you'll be tempted. But I'm not tempted anymore. I was, but I'm not. Why? Because I love Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus on the left side of the board. I have a relationship, not a religion. Not a religion. Relationship. God has always wanted to have a relationship so that he could then not only forgive you, chair four, but he could also then live inside of you and remove all your sins. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He wants to not just forgive your sins, he wants to remove the sin, actually get rid of it. So then, you know that God wants to perfect you so that you'll be a lover. So you're, first of all, chair five is you had to be dead to yourself in order to love your neighbor. You have to be dead to yourself in order to love your neighbor. Now, anybody can do it. But are you a hypocrite? Or did you do it from the heart? In my case, I did it right from the heart because right away I knew I loved him. Because he first loved me. If he hadn't loved me first, I wouldn't love him. But I knew in head knowledge that God was good, and I never argued with that. But I didn't want to do good. I wanted to do bad. Whatever that was, I wanted to be evil. It didn't bother me. I didn't have a conscience. If I had a conscience, I didn't know about it. Because I never felt bad about lying, cheating, stealing. I didn't have any compunction about that. So I never had an over-scrupulous conscience because I didn't even know I had a conscience until I was at Yale. At Yale, one day God visited second window. He visited me. I was on the seventh row. 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. I was right there, and God spoke these words to me. I didn't know who it was. But it was out loud. And of course, God doesn't speak like that normally. But he did to me because I was going to go all the way with the world. I was going to be great, awesome, wonderful, glorious, a scholar, you know, whatever. And so he said to me, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Oh, that was good philosophical. I like that one. Because I was vain. Totally vain. How many of you were born vain? Yes, everybody. So everybody here was born vanity. You want to have this epithumia. You wanted to have this nephesh. You wanted to be soulish. You didn't want to have a new heart. But God's only interested in your heart. If he gets your heart, he got everything. Now he got your everything because you love him with all your heart. Boom. And all your soul and all your life. Walk. So that's what, I don't want to talk about myself, I'm just saying, I'm a perfect example of a pastor that was no good, got converted one day, and never would go back, ever. I mean, when God does something, it's perfect. Now, had I climbed Jacob's ladder to get up to God, that would have taken me a while. I would get there by merits and degrees. But I knew better than that, because I knew what the Bible said. God came down and was born of the Virgin Mary, Christmas time. He came down and he said, and the Holy Spirit said to her, he said, Gabriel was there, but also the Holy Spirit said to her, the child born in you will be born of the Spirit of God. So then she was born not of Joseph. Joseph was not the father. Joseph was not the father. And I believe now that God loved me before the foundation of the world. That's what I believe. I believe he knew that I'd be bad, then I would convert. It's not how you begin, it's how you end. You could have a holy life and at the last minute do something foolish, and that would be your destiny. Or you could be a unholy life, and at the last minute, meet Jesus, and then that would be your destiny. So there's hope for anybody. I have no hostility toward anybody in the world. So I travel the world, lots of places in the world, India, China, Africa, Europe, etc., etc., etc. And I know that God wants me to be an example of a Christian. So I've never taken a penny, never on anything that I've done. So it'd have to be a miracle that I survive, because I don't have any merits. I don't have anything going for me except Jesus Christ. And he lives inside of me and said, you know, I'm going to change you from one degree of glory, 5, and then 6, to another degree of glory, those 2. So now, these 2 added to 4. 4, 5, and 6, this is the atonement. He paid this price by, first of all, dying for me in 4, and then living inside of me, because when he rose from the dead, he lives in me now, 6, 5, and then 6 is where I glorify his name. All have sinned, but have fallen short of the glory of God. Here it is, 4, 5, 6, a process. So you weren't born one day. That's just birth. That's just a foundation. Then you have to build the house, and I'm the house. You're the house. I, your house. And so anybody that wants to be built up by Jesus, let him go. If you let God be God, everything he does is a miracle. Everything that he does is a blessing. So let's say Biden wins, because everybody thinks he's going to win. But let's say he wins. Okay, I'll just be as happy as I was before. Let's say they kill me. Be happy. It's not going to bother me, because I'm in love with Jesus. And you know what I think? I think all those people that shouldn't be elected, they don't have any teachers. They don't have anyone to live the life and then to teach the life. And so I can't blame them, because they were like me, stupid. That's the way I grew up, completely ignorant of God. But once I met him, because he came down on the earth and said, I love you. And he wanted me to be his wife. I understood that. I read the Bible. I understood what he wanted, that I'd be married to Jesus someday. How many know that everybody in this room will be married to Jesus someday? How many know you're going to be married to Jesus? You're already the bride. You're the bride, not based on your behavior, totally based on your heart. Not at all what you did or didn't do. It doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. It only matters what he did. And what he did was forgive you. What he did was paid the debt that you owed that you couldn't pay. And so, since that's the case, God wanted you to know it's a free gift. What did you have to pay for it? No. Free gifts happen at Christmas time. All the children love it because they get free gifts. And you don't have to pay for them. So no little child opens a present and said, how much did this cost? I'll try to pay you back, Mom. They just enjoy it. And the delight of Christmas is that you gave a free gift. They didn't have to be naughty or nice. It didn't matter. I'm going to give the gift anyway. A lot of people don't give gifts. When I grew up, we got one toy, like a bag of marbles. I remember that. I liked that gift. And so, but you only had one, so there weren't any toys to break or do anything. They made them, but we couldn't afford them. And so we just got one gift. And my father made $4,000 a year, and the neighbor guy got $60,000, 15 times my dad. And so I said, wow, I'd like to be, this is when I was a pagan, I'd like to be rich like that. I'd like to be really rich like that. I could do anything. But it was all in my imagination. I knew nothing about nothing about nothing. And even though I did that, God said, I love you. Wow. Why would you say that? I'm no good. I know I'm trash. I was called poor white Irish trash. And our neighbors were Russian, Czechoslovakian, Polish, all part of Eastern Europe kind of people. And so, anyway, I won't tell you about it, but I just grew up that way, and we'd just have BB guns and could shoot each other and kind of stuff like that. So I still have wounds of spears and so on going into your head. And so that's how we played. As boys, we played King of the Mountain. So whoever could get to the top of the mountain, then everybody had to knock you off. So I loved that. That would love that game. And so I had nothing going for me. I had no future, had no life, no nothing. What can I do? And I didn't want to be good. I just wanted to be whatever I wanted to be. Today, I don't want anything but Jesus. And he's the only friend I have. Human friends, I don't trust them. I only trust Jesus. It's in the Bible. Psalm 118, verse 7 and 8. Put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, put your trust in the Lord. The middle of the Bible. The absolute mathematical literal of the divided, the Bible. There's right in there. Don't ever trust man. Don't ever trust presidents. Don't ever trust pastors. Don't trust anybody but Jesus. Amen? So it's powerful. And everything I say to you can look it up in the Bible. Everything I teach is not what I want to say. It's whatever Jesus wants me to say. And I'm unafraid. I don't have any fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I have that perfect love, Norman. And I'm not afraid to say it. Why? Because I had nothing good going for me when I grew up. But now I do. And I can go all over the world. I meet presidents one-on-one. The president's sitting on one side of the table. I'm sitting on the other side of the table. And I've met many presidents that way. So I have a worldwide ministry. And we have all kinds of people that have to follow. I'm sure they're listening right now. They have to follow me from Africa or from Asia or from Europe or whatever. They're listening right now. But I have all kinds of people in America, in California and up Michigan and down in, you know, Woodlands in the South and so on. So what? It doesn't mean anything because I don't even know who they are. I don't know who they are. Or I do know who they are, and I'm amazed that they want to hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Why? Because it's rare. God has always had a remnant in the world. And Guy, you're part of it. And you're part of it. And Joyce, you're part of it. And everybody here is part of God's family. In other words, he doesn't force anything. He just preaches it. And if you hear his words, you have eternal life. If you just hear his words, you don't have to hear him to understand it. You don't have to hear him to want it. You don't have to hear it to feel something. Just hear it. Just read it. Hear it with your ear. And that produces. And that's how I became a Christian. I did because I had head knowledge. I read it. But I didn't read it to try to understand it. I didn't read it to get a sermon or something. I didn't read it for any reason. I just read it because he said read it. So I did, not knowing what I was doing. But then one day he visited me because I had actually done what he said without any signs or wonders or miracles or anything. And all of a sudden I fell in love with Jesus. It's like weird. You couldn't explain it because I was the last one I thought he would ever visit on the earth. And I've never met anyone worse than myself. But I can meet murderers. I can meet all kinds of people that are never... They're going to be You know, if you're a murderer, you don't go to heaven. I don't know if you know that. I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. It said murderers will not go to heaven. But what if you're forgiven? Ah, you're not a murderer. Isn't that amazing? That is, to me, amazing that God would see me, know everything I thought and felt and wanted and so on, and he'd still say, I want to marry you. I want you to marry my son. Why would you say that? I mean, it'd make me laugh. Why would you want me on your team? But he did. He even wanted Paul on the team. Right? Barbara on the team. Why? You're going to be part of the bride of Christ. You're the body of Christ, but you're also the bride of Christ. So everything that he's wanted in a wife, you will be. Because God right now is removing all your sin. Whether you know it or not, he's not dead. He's not just in heaven. He's also in your heart. And he's removing all your sin every single day. Every single day he's removing more sin. Unless you start helping him, then he'll stop. If you start thinking you're God and you can help out, you missed it. So I don't believe in any good works. I don't believe anyone is good. I believe that all men are evil. I believe God is good. I believe he is the only one that's good. I'll prove it to you. Jesus said, God is good, and no one else is good but God. Kind of clear to me. That's very clear. If no one else is good but God, then how can you do a good work? If no one else is good but God. And it actually says in the Greek, but one, colon, God. So since that's the case, I can't do good. That relieves me of a lot of work because I've never wanted to do good to anybody. So he loved me as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Blah, blah, blah. And so, wow, he just loved me as I was. Did you know, Barbara, he loves you just the way you are. He doesn't want you to clean up. He'll do a do-over on you and, you know, it'd be quick. And so he doesn't want you to look like a Christian. He wants you to be really a Christian who lives by faith. Totally a Christian who lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. So everybody here is going to heaven, right? By the way, you don't have anything to do with it. He promised that. He made a promise and he cannot, once he makes a promise, then he has to add his right hand, lift it up, and swears that he will keep that promise. And now, not only that, he'll keep the promise that he just swore to. So you have the promise, the swear to, and then he'll keep it. Wow. That's powerful. Why isn't everybody happy today? Did you know someday every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a witchcraft person or a Satanist. It doesn't make any difference. Someday, every knee will bow. And they'll see him on the white horse. They'll see all the white horses behind him. They'll see the host of heaven. They'll see all the saints of the Old Testament, New Testament, church history. They'll see everybody here, and he'll welcome you into heaven and give you something you didn't deserve. Right? And when you get there, you need to take the lowest seat in the house. The first one you come to, just sit down. Rather than to sit up higher, and then he'll come to you and say, Jim, you need to go up higher. I don't need to come up higher. I wanted to be last so I'd be first. Because I don't deserve it. And so you say, no. You were dead to this world. You were alive to God in Christ Jesus. So I'm ready today. If I die today, I'll be happy. It doesn't bother me. If they chop my head off, the Muslims like to do that. No problem. I'll thank them. Thank you for. Oh, wait. Thank you. I don't care why, because I'm going home. You just sent me home quickly. Nobody else in the world can do that, even the Muslim. They don't want to have their heads chopped off. They just think that if they're bad and they lie and they deceive, that they'll get to heaven. You're not going to. You have to have this process, 4, 5, 6. That's the atonement Jesus paid for you. That's the dowry he paid to marry you. That is the payment for your sins on the cross. 4. Then he'll live inside of you. 5. Be your Lord, and you'll submit to his lordship. And then you'll actually love your neighbor as yourself. That's the end of the law. We just did the end of the law. What did you do? Nothing. Because Jesus did all 3 of those. He not only created you on his own, then he justified you, 4. Then he sanctified you, 5. And then he glorified you, 6. And then he wants to marry you in 7 forever and ever. Amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, we've heard that a billion times. You probably have. So I'll keep saying it until you live it, not until you hear it. Because you have to hear this thing over and over again and realize a lot of Christians aren't going to make it, and they're confident because they were born again, 4. Just being born again is just your foundation. You didn't even build a house on it. And then you didn't do anything when you were in that house. Because when you're there, all your love doesn't go to God. He doesn't want to be paid back. He wants no repay. You cannot pay God for a free gift. And everything he's done is a free gift. Everything God has done is a free gift. Everything is done. Because all of us are sinners. And so, what can we do? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Isn't it good to be a nothing? Because if you're a nothing, then you have no place to fall. You're already a nothing. I like being a nothing. I grew up a nothing, and now I don't want to amount to a hill of beans. I just want to be me, be loved by God. So everybody here, and I'll have you testify in a few minutes, everybody here needs to know what it says. Now, I'm going to read on, and then we'll testify. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passes away, verse 17, and the lust thereof. This world is not going to last that long. It's temporal. It's not everlasting. And the world passes away right now, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. How do you do the will of God? Can you abide in God? Can you do his will? If no one else is good but God, can you do that? Can you do what you ought to do? Can you say you're really sorry for your sins? No, you can't even save yourself. Can you stop sinning? No, you can't even do that. That's how helpless you are. Isn't that that's precious. Why would he do everything for everybody? I don't know. I'm not God. But he said I did. And I believe him. So I'm ready to die. I die daily. Every day. Every day I read the word. I do it by faith. I don't have to see it. I just do it. Whatever he says, I'll do it. So Peg and I, you know, every day we talk to each other and we have good talks. Because I'm a lover. I love, as Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. Did you know that's one of the biggest problems in the world today, that men don't love their wives? You could say yes. Yes, that's a problem. I mean, I don't mean just love, like I love you, and get married. I mean, do everything for them. If they owe a debt, pay it. If they want you to have 2 jobs, have 2 jobs. Whatever it is. And so Peggy is important to me, and more and more every day. I'm growing, and she can see it. Yeah, you're a Christian. You're really loving me just like Jesus. You're just giving me the good news like Jesus. But I'm not Jesus. He's Jesus. I'm never going to be Jesus. I'm going to be always a slave, a nothing. Nothing, nothing. How many want to be a nothing? Because then you don't have any needs. You don't have any desires. You're not part of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So he was talking about heaven. Way up in heaven. That's our home. You haven't even gotten there, you. How many good works can you do to get there? None. None. You can lie. You can pretend like you get merits for that. The Catholics believe that. The Jews believe that. Muslims believe that. Hindus believe that. Buddhists believe that. Confucianists believe that. Everybody believes it. And they're wrong. Because you can't ever do anything good because you're not perfect. Only Jesus can give you life and then can kill you and then can resurrect you. So, 4 is he loves you unconditionally. 5 is he's living inside of you, removing all your sin. And 6 is you're perfect. Because when you're loving your neighbor, that's the end of the law and it's over. Then Jesus will come back. He's not going to come back until Jesus comes back with vengeance for all the wicked. They'll all end up in the lake of fire. When he comes back, lake of fire, then you realize, why are they going there? Because they live eternally in hell and they'll just never get out. They'll be in the lake. So since they're in the lake and they're crying and grinding their teeth and so on and so forth, it says in the Bible, that's what they deserve. Why? Not because they sinned. Their sin was they didn't ask for mercy. They didn't ever come and say, I was wrong, you were right, forgive me. So as God hath forgiven you, so forgive your neighbor. Be blind. Don't see the sin that they sin. Be blind. My servant, it's in the Old Testament, my servant is blind. In other words, even though you do a sin, he forgives you. Even though they do a sin, ignore it. Because God is not going to count that. He's only looking at their heart. King David was a wicked man. But God called him a man after my own heart. Why? How could you be wicked and be a man after God's own heart? Because he first of all slept with Bathsheba, which is Uriah's wife, a Hittite. And then he killed Uriah and arranged it so that he would kill him and then he could marry Bathsheba. Isn't that amazing? And yet he said these words, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? In other words, I've been iniquitous. I've been sinful. I've been rebellious. I have not done what you said. He numbered the people. He was a lousy father. But one thing he was good at, he had a heart for God alone. All the Psalms are written by him and all the Proverbs and all that kind of stuff. But finally, it all worked out because God is a forgiving Father. He's never been an angry judge, not even from the time he created you. Did he create you and not know that they would sin? Adam and Eve. When he created Adam and Eve, did he think, no, they'll never sin? No, he knows everything. He knew they'll sin. And then their son will sin. And it will keep going all the way until today. Do you realize after this next week, the next week that we're just about to enter, the world will never be what it has been before. Do you realize that? You're either going to be communist because Biden is in, you'll be Chinese or, you know, Iranian or something, Russian and whatever, because those are all the people that he collected around him, because they'll allow him to be what I used to be. I'm not judging him. I pray for him. I pray for Obama. I pray for Hillary. I don't care. If they're a person, then Jesus died for them. And so you might say, well, you're not going to get anywhere. No, I already have gotten somewhere, all over. Because I don't have any judgment in me. Why? Because God already judged me and said, you're going to be perfect when I get through with you. Okay, keep going till you're through with me. Right? So I'm not afraid to look at sin and say, that's sin. And I'm not afraid to say that to somebody, you're sinning. Doesn't bother me at all. Because I was worst, bad. But now I'm not. Because Jesus converted me. A convert is someone that was one thing and became another thing. I'm no longer Jim. I'm now Jesus. Obo. Jesus in Obo. It's enough to change you forever. That's what Jesus wants. So, I said, oh, it's going to finish up, so I have to finish up. Little children, that's a newborn Christian, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That's how you know it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So, the church, how many know that Israel, all Israel, will not be saved? It says so in the 9th chapter of Romans. So, since it says all of Israel are not Israel, for example, Ishmael, the firstborn son, well, he's not included. And then he had this sin after sin. And people have all sinned. All have sinned, right? All have sinned. If all have sinned, that means all, everybody here is sin. But are you loving him from a heart for forgiving you? He didn't want you to sin, but once you sinned, you can always say, God, have mercy upon me. Even though I did sin, I want it erased. I want blot that out. Get rid of that. And God will just like that say, I already did. What? When did you do that? On the cross? No, before that. Well, Abraham? When did you do that? No, before the foundation of the world. Before there was a world. There wasn't even a world. I created the world. It's mine. I created the heavens and the earth. So on the back wall, it says, Barashit. Be, that means in, the beginning, Rosh, R-O-S-H, and then it says on the end, the very. In the very beginning, so there's nothing before this, in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Ve'et ha-shamayim, ve'et ha-aretz. In the beginning, God created everything for your pleasure, for your blessing on this earth. So then why are there so many problems? Sinners. But everybody's born in sin. Everybody's conceived. Right? So since that's the case, what is God doing right now? He's now letting this message go out, and the world has to hear these words whether you not want to or not. And that's my job. I have to do it. And I'm going to do it because I want to do what I have to do. So now I have to do it. I want to do it. So I want everyone to be born like I was, whether you were a hypocrite or cold, doesn't matter. But I also want you to have faith in Jesus, so you repent really of chair one, the cold. But chair five isn't taken care of until you die in this one here. This chair five means Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. You have to suffer in this world. How many know you have to suffer? It says so. And unless you suffer, you won't be glorified. Unless you do this, you can't do this. So you have to have this as a foundation. This is a house, and this is what you do in the house. Love your neighbor as yourself, and this is how you become the bride of Christ. So all of this is exactly your life. Everybody's life in the whole world belongs right here. As I said, I could make it 15 or 20, but it's not necessary. Only necessary to see exactly the summary that God wants you to fall in love with your neighbor. Now, who here has forgiven their father and mother? You have to forgive them, not just say words, but it has to come from your heart. Because you were wrong about them, even though they did bad. So what? Forgive them anyway. Because they've never been loved, they weren't taught. You know why they were bad? Because no one taught them. No one discipled them. No one mentored them. You know, that's what God wants you to do with your life, is mentor people, but you have to have it to do it. If you're not mature, you can't mature others. So, little children, they're more worried about their sins. But young men and young women, they're sinning. And they actually thought they had the power to cast the devil out. But Jesus said to them, you know what? Don't rejoice that you cast the devil out. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So he rebuked them because he loved them. He didn't rebuke them without hope. He actually chastens them in hope. What is he doing right now? He's chastening his church. Why? Because we're not hot. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He wants all of that so that we keep growing in the Lord and are not yourself anymore. You're another person. You're Christ in you, you. So you is dead. When he died for your sins, so that means you had to die. So now, I am not part of the world. I no longer have any investment in this world. I don't care what the world burns up, or I don't care what it does, because it's not the end earth. The end is the new heaven and the new earth. That hasn't even started yet. So the best is yet to come. Glory! That's just for those that were sleeping. So God wants you to know that Jesus is not done yet, is not finished yet. And if it were time, then you'd see him coming with his white horse and so on. And every knee will bow when they see that. But they can't see it right now because the church is not the church. Israel was not Israel, and Christians are not always Christian. How many know Christians are not always Christian? A lot of Christians are just Christians in name, but they're not Christians from the heart. Only God can do that. You can't do that. So he wants you to be no sin. So who'd be the first man that would stand up and say, I don't want any sin in my life. I want to be totally purified like Jesus. Who'd like to start? Larry. Who else? Norman. Obon. Yes. Anyone else? Just men. Guy. It's good. Was that a real hand or just partly hand? So God wants you to know you can make the promise, but it really isn't you making the promise. It's really Jesus making the promise, because only Jesus can do what you just said you will do. So you don't have to do it. This is a free gift. Everything God has ever done is a free gift. All children should have parents that give them everything. They don't think about where is my bed today? You know, what is the food that I'm going to eat? You have to learn that God has supplied everything you ever needed in this world. The fact that we goofed up, so what? Adam and Eve goofed up. But he's not worried about that. He's only worried about his mercy. Because he's good, he's gracious, and he's merciful. In other words, he doesn't see any sin because he's the one that's working on your sin. You're not. He's the one that birthed you. You're not. All of this is because God loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you then to realize in this world, this is just a testing ground. You're just being tested to see whether you go all the way with Jesus. Most people hate chair five because they don't want to suffer. Ah. If you don't suffer, you won't be glorified. You have to suffer. Why? Because you don't have any faith that you'll make it? Of course you'll make it, because Jesus will be with you. Did you know that wherever you go, Jesus is with you? I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake. That's a good promise. If he says he'll never, he has eternal life, so I'll have eternal life. If he can love me as his neighbor, as himself, I'll glorify the Father in heaven. So everything is going our way, and the whole world is for a happy ending. Do you know that? Not everybody in it. Because there are people that don't believe these words because it's too simple. God loves you just because you're made by him. He wrote with this finger right here, right hand. This is for everybody else. This is just for you, the church, my people. He write, this one, I'll be your judge. That's Jesus Christ. The day he was resurrected, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, everything on the earth, I'm preeminent. In heaven and on earth. I'm preeminent in heaven, I'm preeminent on earth. So Jesus will be the one, and he is a loving God. He loves you just the way you are. Because he was tempted like you are tempted. Did you know that? He is tempted like you're tempted. Everybody is tempted. Don't be hard on yourself. Accept Jesus' promise. The thing that he promised, he must keep. He is the only non-liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every man is a liar. So the only way you can check what I said is read your Bible. You'd have to read it, whether you like it or not. You have to read it. And when you read it, you'll get faith. And when you get faith, you don't see it. And when you don't see it, other people will be good and bad. The good are going to stay good. The bad are going to stay bad. So everybody here is good. You know why? Because God visited you a long time ago. You have an experience of the living God. My sister right here, we were talking before y'all came. And from the time that she was young, she received Jesus Christ and said, I'll never forget that. And so problems can come up, all that kind of stuff. Don't pay attention to it. Jesus sees it. And if you're afflicted, he's afflicted. So everything that's going on today is for your glory. He wants the glory of God to be on the face of the earth. Not in heaven someday, on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As it is in heaven, so on earth. You have to be on earth to receive that. So God actually wants you to be blessed today and forever and ever and ever. So let's have a testimony. Pastor, that's me. I'm happy from now on. I'll be happy from now on.
I'm blessed.
Right. Blessed. Powerful, Norman. Yeah. Because you didn't do it. Jesus did it. He already did it before the foundation of the world. He made your good works, that what you ought to have done, you didn't do, but he did it for you, and then he came down and said, I did this for you. I did this. I'm your substitute. I'm the one that you won't be judged by your works. You'll be judged by mine on your behalf. In your stead. On behalf of you. For your profit. For your benefit. For your blessing. Every day. So every day he's like that. It's powerful. Yeah. It's too powerful. Exactly. Too precious. God loves you. Don't look to man. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in anything. By the way, if God wanted to, he hadn't told me he wants to. If he wanted to, Trump can win. There's always a way. God can make anything happen. He doesn't have to ask anybody permission. He doesn't have to ask the House or the Senate or the Supreme Court. He doesn't have to have anybody's permission. If he wants Trump to win, Trump will win. So don't doubt that God can do anything. He is the God of the impossible. You do the possible, he does the impossible. So if he wanted Abraham to have a son at 100 years old, he can have it. And Sarah, she laughed in the tent. You remember, she laughed. Sarah, he changed her name to Sarai. Okay? So Sarai is a princess. She used to be just miserable. Sarah. Now, you're not just that. She made you then the one that would give us faith. So now, because of that faith, not Ishmael's mother, Hagar, that one gets you in trouble. But they want to be God. They don't want to be like God. They don't want God to get all the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. Sola Fide. Sola Christus. Solus Christus means only Jesus is the only hope of this world. So they may hate us. They may find us deplorable. I don't care. Doesn't bother me a bit. I don't mind being deplorable. I don't mind anything that they say. Why? Because I've read God's word. I don't go by what I feel or think or want. I go by what God said. So since God is God and he is good and he's gracious and he'll never change and he's merciful. So Christmas Happy New Year. This is going to be a good year. Don't go by sight. Go by faith. All right. Who wants to pray? Norman, pray.